And it's written by a gentleman named Brother Yun. Okay. He is a Chinese brother in Christ. He wrote a couple of books, and God had blessed him and his ministry mightily. But when you read this book, it will blow you away as to what he actually suffered through. Many years ago was when he was living in China. He is Chinese before he came to America. And the persecution there was nothing like anything we have ever experienced. When Americans talk about persecution, it means one thing. When our Chinese brothers and sisters talk about it, it means a whole different ballgame. So they arrested him for his faith, and they threw him in prison. The conditions were deplorable. At one point, to teach him a lesson, they took him, and they were, if I remember right, it's been a long time, so check me on this if you'd like, but you'll get the point. They took him out into a courtyard, which was basically like a cesspool where all the waste went. They threw him in there. And at the same time, as he was laying in the water in the waste, they tasered him. And this was going on often. This was incredible. He had a miraculous escape from prison, not unlike Paul and Silas or Peter. It was a miraculous escape. God still does miracles, amen? Yeah, and this was one of them through Brother Yun. So here he was, a man simply serving Jesus. That's all he was doing. That's it. He wound up suffering in ways that most of us have no idea about. And my hope and prayer is that we never do. Okay? Yet Brother Yun, and by the way, that's like his book name. I'm not sure. He's not using his real name for obvious reasons. But he's not alone, is he? Think about some of the people in the Bible who suffered much like he did. How about Job? It got so bad for Job that his wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, wives, I would not encourage you to say that to your husband when they are struggling, nor would I encourage you husbands to say that to your wives. Wendy doesn't say that to me, and I'm a blessed man. See? Aren't you glad the pastor's wife does not say that to the pastor? Yeah. Job, though, had a wife that's like, "Why don't you just curse God and die and get over with it?" Remember, Job was righteous. He didn't do anything to deserve it. It's not like he went out, murdered somebody, and now he's paying the consequences. He didn't break the law, and now he's paying the consequences. He simply was a righteous man who got caught up in a discussion between God and the devil. That's it. And the whole thing that Job went through was in essence a test. That's really what it was. And I tell you what, if you have not read the book of Job, or you haven't read it in a while, read it again. Because, this is a little aside, but it does tie in together. Many times what preachers do is we preach about heroes of the faith, right? And everybody loves the heroes of the faith. Here's the problem, though, that can come from that. When you preach the heroes of the faith, you could look at yourself and say, "I'm not good like that. There's no way I can be like this guy." Don't ever forget the heroes of the faith were no different than you and me. They were people who sinned just like us. A lot of times, what do we preach when we preach King David? Usually it's, you know, defeating Goliath. Look at the faith the man have. And so somebody might be sitting there in the chair or the pew or whatever, and I don't have faith like that. Job, I love the story of Job because when he was in the middle of it, he didn't mess around. He didn't mess with reality. I mean, he was hurting, and he confessed that. And of course, his friends didn't make it any easier. If you remember the book of Job, you know, they're telling him all the wrong stuff. So not only is he dealing with his own loss, his own bodily issues, he's dealing with his friends who just needed to be quiet. Job was a righteous man, served the Lord, loved his family, and the next thing you know, he's suffering. The sons of Korah in Psalm 42, this is one of my favorite psalms because I've been there. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Oh, what? I think I may have mentioned this in here before. Christian counselors will use that psalm to counsel people who are going through depression, heaviness, a sense of condemnation, loss. If you look at Psalm 42, realize that this guy was up and down. Like, it almost seems like every other second, one minute he's like, I'm praising you, Jesus. The next minute is, Jesus, you're killing me. He says what? He says, God, all of your breakers are breaking over me. A breaker is an ocean wave. What's he saying? I'm not down in North Carolina swimming. He's dying. He's drowning. And God, in his mind, has a role in that. Wow. He's suffering. He remembered when he used to lead the congregation in worship. He's one of the worship leaders. Did he deserve what he was going through? He was confused. It doesn't seem like it. And yet he was suffering anyway. If you move into the New Testament, you've got a guy named Paul. You've probably heard of him before. He's written a couple books, a couple letters. Matter of fact, he's written the majority of the New Testament. Paul was thrown in prison. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was beaten to an inch of his life and stoned. Paul was having to escape cities under the cover of night because they wanted to kill him. Here's a man who's simply serving Jesus, and he is suffering mightily. How about Jesus himself? I'm not sure you can beat out Jesus when it comes to suffering. When you think of what he went through, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, Brother Yun had it bad. But Jesus, I think he may just be a whole other ballgame. I don't know. I'll have to ask him that someday. Jesus suffered, and that's Jesus. The truth is, suffering is a part of the lives of all of us who follow Jesus. Take a look at a couple of scriptures here. John 16:33. This is a good one. You might know this one, have it memorized. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And here it is. In this world you will have trouble. Anybody in here ever have trouble? Anybody in here ever have little trouble? Yeah? Anybody in here ever have big trouble? Have you ever been in really big trouble where you are saying, Lord, I want to wake up from this nightmare? Yeah. In this world, you will have these things. You'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Here's another one. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. What? This is Paul talking to Philippian Christians. And look what he says. He says it's been granted, almost like a good thing. It's been granted not only to believe in him, and we'd say, yes, Jesus, I'm glad you granted me faith, but you're also granted to suffer for him. Wow. Paul, even in another place, says when he was suffering, he was actually finishing up the sufferings of Jesus that were left behind for him. You almost get the sense that Paul saw suffering for the name of Jesus as an honor, badge of honor. We've seen it in our own lives, trouble, haven't we? We've seen it in our families. We've seen it in this very congregation. Now, don't be surprised at that. Every congregation can say the same thing. But when you talk about, well, let me step back. There are many different ways you can suffer. Biblical suffering, when you read that word suffering, means to be affected or be in a bad plight. It means oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress. It means pressure and pressing together, almost like a pressure cooker. Anybody in here have a pressure cooker at the house? I don't, but they're supposed to be pretty cool, aren't they? Can't you put like a whole chicken in them things and it's like pops out in like 40 seconds? All right, I am exaggerating. We don't have a pressure cooker. But if you went into a pressure cooker, you're going to feel it, aren't you? Yeah, that's the word picture I get when I think of biblical suffering. And doesn't suffering feel like that sometimes? Honestly, it feels like you're in the pressure cooker, being pressed together, squished, like you're about to pop. You may find yourself like the sons of Korah, crying out, God, why? Suffering can come in small ways, troubling situations. It could be a coworker that's giving you the cold shoulder. Or it could be Brother Yun tasered over and over again in his mouth while he was in the cesspool. I forgot to tell you that one. It was actually put in his mouth as he was in the cesspool. So I would say that there's different levels of suffering, but both can cause distress, can't they? Both cause affliction. And both, regardless of how small or large, can cause trials in our lives. And remember this too, everybody deals with suffering in different ways. Some have a high pain tolerance for things, emotionally, physically, whatever. Others not so much. And we've got to be careful that we don't judge one another. Oh, come on, what's wrong with you? Can't you get over that? Oh, that's the best thing to say to somebody, right? What's your problem? Don't you have enough faith? Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm about ready to die here, and now I'm hearing that I'm not even good enough to have enough faith, which all you need is the faith of a mustard seed, so I must be a terrible Christian because I don't even have the faith of a mustard seed, right? We've got to be very careful. Are there times when we need to encourage one another to have more faith? Sure, but be led by the Spirit. Be smart about how you're doing it. The point is that suffering is a part of who we are. It's a part of our reality in this world. So the big question is, it's the $10,000 question, why? Why are you suffering? In other words, is there a purpose? I think there's a good question. We've already kind of answered it in part. And it's a question that is often asked by those who are in the midst of suffering. Interestingly enough, when they ask that question, they're not always looking for an answer. They're just looking for someone to listen. That's important. Men are fixers, by and large. We want to fix things. Wendy and I have had that conversation many times. I think didn't we read the 5 love languages years ago and different things, and men are fixers. And sometimes, you know, a lady just wants you to listen. But listen, I'm a pastor. I like fix things all the time. And half the time when I fix things, I make it worse. I hope that's not really true. It feels like that sometimes. But you're a fixer. So, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Well, you got to do this, 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 and this. And they look at you and they're like, would you just be quiet? And then you're like, but don't you want me to help? No, I just want you to listen. With that being said, it is a good question. And the answer to the question, why am I suffering, or is there a purpose to my suffering? The answer is yes. There is a purpose to it. And as believers, God uses our suffering to build our perseverance, character, and hope. Take a look at Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. In other words, they rejoice in their sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And I love this verse. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, there is a purpose to our suffering. It's here to help us grow. I don't know as if you fully know who you are until you're told no. I don't know really where that came from, but I think it fits. Because if the idea behind suffering is to help you grow and mature, character, perseverance, hope, one of the things that we don't like is to be told no. It's easy to follow Jesus when you're not suffering. It's easy to follow Jesus when you're not told no. Then all of a sudden you find out where you are. You either rise to the occasion or you fall flat on your face. I've done both. Now, this is not speaking necessarily of your salvation. It's just speaking of, we still have a ways to grow, and one of the ways that happens is through suffering. So Paul starts with using suffering to produce and build perseverance. The Amplified Version in that verse says, patient and unswerving endurance. These words are interesting. Patience, perseverance, unswerving endurance. It's a never say die, never give up attitude. That's really what it is. It doesn't give up, it doesn't give in, it perseveres, it endures, it is patient. It's an attitude, in essence, that keeps on fighting. You know as well as I do, maybe even more than I do, this world can throw a lot of stuff at us. God needs to build these traits in us, endurance, perseverance, patience, so that we can do what? John 16, 33, overcome the world. See it? And the way he does it is taking us through times of suffering. Call them trials, tribulations, troubles, all the same thing. Here's an illustration for you. A man named A. Parnell Bailey visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. Before the pump broke down, the trees were very well irrigated. The season was unusually dry, and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. The man giving the tour then took Bailey to his own orchard where irrigation was used sparingly. These trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks, he said. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. This hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at a greater depth. Isn't that a great illustration? I love that. This is what God is doing in you. It's what he's doing in me. He's building our perseverance through our sufferings. He's causing your root system to go deeper. Huh. This is why Paul can say, I glory or I rejoice in sufferings. Not because he felt good in the suffering. I don't think Paul felt good being stoned. And I really don't think Jesus enjoyed the cross. Oh yeah, Dad, send me down again so I can get nailed one more time. That was a boatload of fun. No, but the scriptures do say that for the joy set before him, Jesus enjoyed the cross. What's the joy set before him? It's the outcome of the cross. That is the salvation of mankind. And so Paul, in essence here, has the same kind of thought. It's not that he enjoyed the suffering. I don't. You don't. But if we can see things through the eyes of the Lord, we'll know that he never wastes a suffering. He'll use them so that we can grow deeper, our roots grow deeper, our perseverance grows deeper. So that's perseverance. And here's the deal. When you are persevering and learning to do that, your character is going to grow. Isn't that what Paul said? Go back to Romans 5, 3 through 5 again, please. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Let's stop there for a moment. D.L. Moody once said, character is what you are in the dark. I've also heard it said that character is who you are when no one else is looking. John Wooden, the great coach for UCLA men's basketball team, once said, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think of you. Isn't that a great quote? Man. Your character, our character is who we really are. At all times, whether people are looking or not. And God, through suffering, through our perseverance in suffering, is building our character. Which means our character still lacks. And I used to get upset about that. Lord, what's wrong with me? Well, the answer is very simple. I'm not done with you yet. So I would encourage you, don't get down when your character flaws rise. And they will rise. They might even rise tonight when you get home and the food that you wanted burned or whatever. But God is building your character. Remember, it's not always what you do. It's what God is doing in you. In me, how we react to that, how we respond to that. So here's the question. What kind of character is he building into us? And the answer is pretty straightforward. His character. He's building his character into you and into me. What does that look like? Well, here's a couple thoughts. A woman who is of godly character is someone whose thoughts and motives and attitudes are righteous and pure. A man who is of godly character is someone you can trust and someone God can trust. A person of godly character is someone who is mature and maturing in the Lord. Those are a couple of different thoughts on what character looks like. And remember, you haven't arrived yet. God is still building you. Allow him to do the work. Remember, don't ever forget he's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to have to prune you. Oh, yeah. Pruning hurts. I'm sure just like those little saplings weren't feeling too good, if trees have feelings. when he was withholding water. When God prunes us, it hurts. But if he doesn't prune us, it's bad. It's not good for us whatsoever. So he is placing his character in you. And one of the major ways he does that is persevering through suffering. Now, here's a thought. Suffering alone won't produce the character. The perseverance through suffering does. So if we constantly just quit or throw in the towel, that's not going to build character necessarily. As we persevere, that's what does it. So there's a process here that Paul is laying out. Suffering, perseverance, then character as perseverance is doing its work. So once again, don't give up. God is building his character in you and in me. And then finally, lastly, numero tres, character produces hope. You guys like that over here? Yeah. Character produces hope. Hope, and now I got to get myself together now. Hope means favorable and confident expectation. Did you hear that? Favorable and confident expectation. Here's an illustration. I think I've shared this before in another message. I'll share it in this one as well. It's a story from Parade Magazine. Do you guys remember Parade Magazine? You'd get them in newspapers. It was, yeah, at one point, right? So from Parade Magazine comes the story of a self-made millionaire named Eugene Lang, who greatly changed the lives of a sixth grade class in East Harlem. Some of you may remember me sharing this. Mr. Lang had been asked to speak to a class of 59 sixth graders. Again, this is in East Harlem, New York. What could he say to inspire these students, most of whom would drop out of school? He wondered how he could get these predominantly black and Puerto Rican children even to look at him. This is what's going through his mind. So he gets up there in front of them. He scraps his notes, and he decided to speak to them from his heart. He says this. Are you ready for this? Stay in school, he admonished, and I will help pay the college tuition for every one of you. At that moment, the lives of these students changed for the first time. They had hope. Said one student, I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. Nearly 90% of that class that he spoke to went on to graduate from high school, and I'm sure a boatload went to college. What changed? Nothing changed. Nothing changed at all. They're still living in East Harlem. They still have the same teachers, same home situation, same friends, same struggles. What changed? Hope. Hope broke through like the lights. The lights break through and they're so bright, we're like this. Well, that's what hope does. It's like, man, I can't believe this. This is crazy. Look how bright it is. That's hope. And those students, for the first time, had it. That's what hope does. It gets you through the night when the day seems like it will never come. Hope gives you the confidence that no matter what sorrow or suffering there may be now, joy is coming in the morning. You know that scripture, right? Our greatest hope, our blessed hope, is that we can be confident that we will be with Jesus forever and ever, and that we will be as he is. No more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more suffering. The Amplified Version says, joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. That's hope. And as Paul says here, hope does not disappoint us. Let's throw verse 5 up again, please. We're on 4. Go ahead to 5. Hope does not put us to shame. It does not disappoint us. It gives life to our souls. It kind of girds us up. It strengthens us. It encourages us. We need more hope. And what's great is God wants us to have more and more hope. He uses suffering to get us there. But again, suffering alone won't do it. Perseverance does. And remember, this is a lifetime journey. Please don't look at your Christian walk as like a year or two or a week and a half. It's a whole lot longer than that. You know? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of your inheritance. What's your inheritance? Heaven, the presence of Christ. The Holy Spirit guarantees it. Now you're on this walk with Jesus. Be at peace. Look at your life through big glasses and realize that it's not just oh, like this, and then God's done with me. He continues with you throughout. Again, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But there is a process. Suffering produces perseverance, which then produces godly character, and in which in turn brings hope. Now, I wrote this down, and it's true. Knowing all of this now, right, does not necessarily make it easy to go through the sufferings, does it? We might know something. It might help us a little bit, but the sufferings are still real. I guess it's one of those things where it's easier said than done. Oh, there's the preacher. Yep, he's got the preaching going on. Hallelujah. And then you go home and you're like, man, I got to deal with this again? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me, right? What? It's so easy, and I know this sometimes for myself, it's so easy for me to sit up here and say whatever, and it's true, but it doesn't necessarily make it always easy. Go back to Job. He didn't enjoy it. I don't think Brother Yun would come up here today and say, hey, why don't you get that taser out and shove it in my mouth again? Please, that was, again, so enjoyable. Yet Paul said we ought to rejoice in our sufferings. Matter of fact, in another version, I think he says boast in the sufferings. And my first thought, although we've already talked about this, I think this will finish it up. My first thought is, Paul, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? What are you going to rejoice in these things for? Well, I think we now know why. Because God is doing something, even in the midst of the suffering. That's why he was able to rejoice in those things, to boast in those things. He learned that God was at work in him, building him into the man of God that he was called to be. It didn't happen overnight. What's interesting, and I'll just throw this out as a thought, there are certain people who will teach that as you look at the letters of Paul chronologically, and you kind of have to do a little bit to get them chronological, you actually see a difference in his writing and in the way he sees things. Now, I will admit to you, I have not done a study on that, although now I'm starting to wonder if I should. It's a perfect illustration. Paul is a different person. And it absolutely does make sense, doesn't it? Because God was building him. Going back to the idea of heroes, we make the mistake and we think that the minute you read about a hero in the Bible that he's got it all together. He doesn't. Paul even mentioned, I have not yet attained perfection. Paul even mentions something like, woe is me. Who's going to save me from this body of death? Because he's dealing with sin and temptation. You ever read Romans 7? Let that play with your Pentecostal theology a little bit for a moment. He says, I know the things that I want to do. I don't do them. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing. What a wretched man I am. He's writing that after he's saved. He's writing that while he's planting churches. And you're like, what? I thought Paul was like the man. Yeah, he was a man in need of a Savior named Jesus. And Jesus was doing his work in him. So either way, Paul is growing, we're growing. Do not forget, Jesus loves you. He knows your pain because he has suffered as well. The Father loves you. He knows your pain as well. Think about watching your son die on the cross. I'm sure that ripped the Father apart. So take heart. He is with you. He is building you. May he strengthen you and me to persevere in trials. May he grow our character. And may that lead to more and more and deeper hope in us. Amen. I think it's a great message, and it's something I think that we all need to hear from time to time, individually, as a congregation. Denominations need to hear this. Our nation needs to hear it, especially the believers in this nation. You know, you look around and you're like, whoa, we've lost an awful lot over the last 20 years. Think about it. Think about where the nation was 20 years ago. And where it is today, it has changed. At the same time, be at peace. God knows what's happening. And he's still got everything together. And he'll hold us even in the midst of persecution. Can we stand together? Oh, by the way, as you are praying this week for Ralph's friend, he is dealing with seizures. I did not put that in the prayer before, but he's dealing with seizures. And what's his name again? Clifford, thank you. Father, we hear your word here tonight, and it's encouraging. It encourages me. I hope and pray it encourages everyone in here as well. Lord, you may not take away the suffering from us. You didn't from Job. Eventually he got through it, but it took time. Same with Brother Yun, and the same, of course, with Jesus. Same with Paul. But Lord, we see that nothing is missed by you. You actually use these times to help us grow. So Lord, help us persevere. Help us to endure. Strengthen us by your grace and the power of your Spirit that we would not give up. And I'm not just praying for us in here right now, but we're praying for the whole congregation, Lord, that we would not give up. Continue to build your character into us and forgive us, Father, for where we sin and fall short. And may hope come more and more alive. Help us to remember, Jesus, that our blessed hope is one day we will be with you and we will be as you are. One day all this will be over and we get to rejoice. Keep us, lead us, and guide us until that day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, be a blessing. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And don't be blinded by the lights on Sunday.